Tonight, I wanted to continue on with what Mitch started on the last two healing services. He had the first healing service, and then he ended up doing the second healing service. And I'm going to have my tongue tied here. And through that, he came up with this idea, and I don't know if he meant for it to continue, but I wanted to continue it. The first one he did was on physical illness and his physical illnesses and how his body is just letting him down. I'm going to put it that way. It's a wreck. Okay. And then he came up on the second service, if you were not here, some causes of illnesses, and one that he talked about was stress. And as soon as I really started thinking about I would be doing a healing service talk, you know what popped into my mind? Forgiveness. Don't ask me where it come from. I have no clue. It was God all the way. So I wanted to research it, and there's a lot of information, but I wanted to kind of narrow it down to more into some of the illnesses or the causes of some of the illnesses, what can happen if we harbor unforgiveness. So you know me, right to the computer I went. I have this love affair with the computer, sorry. Since I have my papers here, I'm going to walk around. When I was a teacher, I couldn't stand in the same place. Sorry. So I went to the computer, the internet, and I researched, and up popped a whole bunch of information, which I was very thankful for, because it's a subject that's kind of dear to my heart. And I thought, well, if this is what the Lord wants me to do, he better give me some information. And he did. And then all of a sudden, what was happening on the TV? Amazing things started happening. There was I don't know if any of you saw the PBS special on Channel 7, a documentary directed by Helen Whitney called Forgiveness, A Time to Love and a Time to Hate. Did anyone see that? Oh, it was powerful. It was a two-part series, but you can get a DVD of it. So if you want to go on PBS, download PBS, and then you can look for the DVD. You can order it, and I wanted to order it, but I didn't have time to get it. But it's a powerful one. The only thing wrong with it is very graphic. Not wrong with it. Let me not put it that way. But it might really hurt your sensitivities if you don't like looking at pictures, especially the genocide in Africa. So then, guess what? Another program popped up. I just happened to turn the TV on last week, and I don't know if any of you watched Sid Roth. It's Supernatural. It's a program. I can't tell you the truth. I forgot to find out what channel it came on. It's one of the Christian stations. And there was this man, Peter Horobin, H-O-R-R-O-B-I-N. And he has written a book or two or maybe more, but the two that they emphasized on the program was The Most Powerful Prayer and Forgiveness, God's Master Key. And the last one, Forgiveness, God's Master Key, lists 7 steps on forgiveness. And I really wanted to get that, so I called the Christian bookstore, and he didn't have it. But he did have some books on forgiveness. So I trot my little self down to the bookstore on 700 East. And I did buy one of the books, but it really wasn't what I was hoping it would be. I'll use it some other time, okay? And then he had 2 others that I really liked, and there's a possibility I'll purchase those also. The one I bought is by an author Louis Smead's The Art of Forgiving. And I also found, I don't know if any of you looked at all those little pamphlets. I don't know who brought these, but I'm sure thankful, because there was one, and we had a little artist to kind of color the front, but it's about forgiveness. And I think it was the only copy out there, and I just grabbed it, okay? But those are some more things. You also have in your bulletin the list of credits that it's on the second page, that I wanted to list out, because I didn't want to be talking and say, okay, so-and-so said this, so-and-so, and I will be doing that a little bit, but not as much as I would be, because I always like to give credit where credit is due. Through all the research that I did, I came up with the three life areas that unforgiveness can and has caused problems in your lives, or our lives. And I'd like to say that I'm really so smart that I found it, because it wasn't listed 1, 2, 3. And I'm a 1, 2, 3 person. My notes are outlines. I just happened to, the articles that I found, though, had these three in them. And so all of a sudden, you know, light bulb. And I said, that sounds like what I should be writing. I said, the Lord just put everything right in front of me to verify that this is what I should be talking about tonight. And these three areas are the physical areas, emotions, and spiritual. And I'm going to be talking about what problems can come forth for unforgiveness. And then I will talk about, after forgiveness, what how it helps you when you do forgive. Some of you may not have problems in this area. I had problems in it because, as many of you know, I'm a divorcee because my husband took off. And it took me a while to forgive. And I remember writing him one time saying, I forgive you, even though he never owned up to why, you know. But that's neither here nor there. The first area is a physical area. And Joyce Myers calls unforgiveness a poison. Never thought about that. I didn't. And in the New Testament of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 23 through 35, and I hope I get this correct, it talks about a king who had a servant that owed him a lot of money. And so he sent for the servant and said, pay me back, or I'm going to throw you in jail. And the man said, there's no way. And there was no way he could pay him back. And so he got down on his knees and he begged him, please, you know, please forgive me. I'll pay you back, et cetera, et cetera. And then the king said, I forgive you, and I will wash away the debt. Then the servant went and found another servant. And that servant owed him a little bit of money. He said, pay me back the money you owed me. And the other servant said, you know, I really cannot pay it back. And it was just a piddling, but servants didn't make that much at that time. But you know, the one that had been forgiven was not forgiving. And he told him, no, you have to pay me back. And when the king heard about this, he was very upset. And he told the one that he had forgiven, I'm going to throw you to the tormentors, which was in jail. And this is what Joyce Myers says, that we are told that if we do not forgive people, we get turned over to the tormentors or torturers. And one of those tortures that we go through when we harbor unforgiveness is that we have hateful thoughts towards another person rolling around in our head constantly. if it's something that we've done, we torment ourselves by we are really reliving the incident, just keep replaying it in our minds. And that causes us to not concentrate on what we should be doing. Now, as I get older, I can't seem to concentrate on what I need to, so I don't need a lot of baggage in there to keep me from concentrating. I had a hard time Monday. It was really a strange Monday, and I think Mitch said it was the full moon. And because I'm getting more to have a one-track mind. And I was one-track minded. I had to get that golf course Monday by 5:15. And I went. I had to pick up the two grandsons at school. I had to take them all the way over to Kearns for the 10-year-old to have a baseball game by 4:30. And the little one said, "Grandma, you didn't pack my lunch." And I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "It wasn't in my bag." I said, "Yes, it was." Come to find out later, yesterday, it must have dropped out of his bag because somebody found it on the ground. So, yes, I felt relieved when I found that out because I didn't think I'd lost my mind. And I made it to the golf game. By the way, my team did par. Anyway, that's pretty much what my life is like lately. And if I have a lot of things that's bogging me down, I just can't go about. I couldn't get to this writing. It was bothering me. Not that the writing, having to do the writing was bothering me, but everything else seemed to be going in my mind. It was keeping me from settling down and getting to write. And so yesterday I finally did. And then, of course, today I had to go back and cut and paste. And hopefully I didn't forget some of it. But anyway, it's a poison. It just poisons your system. Another author, and you have these names down, Jan Coates, calls unforgiveness soul cancer. Now, she says it's like a tumor with these ugly tendrils growing into in every aspect of our lives. Can you imagine that? I think of a spider with all those legs. It's going all around. It gives me the shivers. I don't know about you. And can it just... I'm not scared of spiders. But just to think that that's what's crawling all around in you. And it has the power to destroy us. And I found that having unforgiveness in our lives can cause headaches, weight gain, high blood pressure, digestive problems, and the list goes on and on. Now, I'm not saying that unforgiveness is the only cause for the health problems, but there's been enough evidence that these are some of the symptoms that are being caused by not forgiving others or even not forgiving yourselves. Maybe you've done something that you still can't forgive yourself for. A source I did not mention in the credits is written by Amy Parham, P-A-R-H-A-M, Parham. And it's called 10 Lessons from a Former Fat Girl, where she mentions a solution to weight gain. And I'll mention that later in the talk. But apparently she must have had problems on forgiveness, and she gained a lot of weight. Let's go to our second area of life that is affected, and that is our emotions. One writer called it an emotional bondage we can get into if we continue to harbor unforgiveness. It comes between our relationships with others. Do you or have you ever known people who cannot forgive others for what they did or what they think that person did? What kind of personality do they have? Most of them are very unhappy, grouchy, angry people, aren't they? Do you like being around that? And I'll tell you something personal, and it's going to make me cry, I'm afraid, because it just dawned on me. I had three brothers. Two of them were kind of like that. And I'm just wondering why they were, their attitude was like that. And I'll never know. And you know what popped up into my mind, immediately thought of when I read this, are the famous feuding families, the Hatfields and McCoys. You ever heard of those families? And I looked them up, and I really never really got the gist of what started it all. One family killed another one in the war or something. Must have been due to a civil war, and then there was a retaliation, then it kept going back. Then one... A couple wanted to get married, and one was from one family, one's from the other, and that caused more friction. I think that's pretty much what it was from. And we always think of revenge. Oh, I'm going to get back. And that's what the Hatfields and McCoys. We think about gangs. You hurt my brother, so I'm going to hurt you. You know, all that. And in South Africa, in Rwanda, you have the Tutsis and the Hutus, the genocides, the genocide of the Tutsis by the Hutus. And this is in that program, documentary I was telling you about. Sad. Another cause in our relationships, we feel burdened. You know, we just feel like something is just really on our shoulders, holding us down. We feel discouraged. Our minds are just consumed with memories of offenses. We're lacking in confidence or feeling unworthy in any capacity. It distorts emotions with revenge. Again, mentioning gangs and the family, Hatfields and McCoy. It fills hearts with churning unrest. Now, on Sunday, I was approached by one of my friends, and... she asked me what the topic of the service was going to be, and I told her it was on forgiveness. And she said, could I share a story with you? And I said, sure, could I share it in my talk? And she gave me her permission, but I won't give you her name, although I don't think she'd care. She'd been friends with this person for a long time. They'd just been really close friends. And then... one time, this friend had done something to her to really hurt her. And so they broke apart. And it was years past that the person who had hurt my friend emailed her and wanted to reconnect. And she felt very sorry for what she'd done to my friend. And at first my friend was, oh boy, you know, all right, you know, I've just been waiting for this day because we were such good friends. But then what happened? All those memories came back of the hurts or the hurt that she had felt. And I don't know all the specifics and I don't know what was caused. And it filled her heart with churning unrest, all those old hurts. And I'll continue on in a few minutes with that. And the third, wait a minute. I hope I've got this correct. Yeah. Our third area is, of course, that unforgiveness affects is our spiritual health. It affects our relationship with God, with our Savior Jesus Christ. In one of the programs I watched, people were saying, why aren't my prayers being answered? Why can't I have peace in my heart? Why can't I hear God's voice? Our spirits can be filled with hatred and desires for vengeance against those who have hurt us. And Christ's commandment, though, is to love. Unforgiveness causes the enemy, the devil, to come in and to keep us in turmoil. Once we let down our guard, he will get in somehow and keep everything churned up in your minds and in your heart. But guess what? There's hope. There's a lot of benefits. There's endless benefits when we forgive. And from a health perspective, the benefits of forgiveness includes lowering blood pressure, improving immune systems, improving sleep, reduces stress, increases energy, improves sense of empowerment, it reduces dysfunctional patterns of behavior, and an increased peace of mind. Again, I got this out of one of the references. To Amy Parton's quote, pursue forgiveness. And she's the one that wrote about the 10-something of the fat woman. Pursue forgiveness. The guilt, shame, and bitterness that unforgiveness brings into your life can trigger you to eat for emotional reasons. Get rid of those unhealthy feelings by asking God to forgive you for your sins and relying on God's help to forgive the people who have hurt you. In the bulletin at the bottom part on that second page where the credits are given, there is a prayer that you can fill out, and after much prayer, you can burn it, you can tear it into little pieces, or you can write it here and tear it into pieces. And I was going to bring the recycle bucket, of course, I forgot that. Because writing down things that bothers you is a wonderful way to solve problems. It got me through, writing down all my feelings and hurts. And then I burned them. And again, that's a teacher's talk. I taught a writing course with a community college in, on the Navajo Nation. It's called Navajo or Diné Community College. And paragraphs and essays. And I mentioned to some of the students, because they were having problems, personal problems. I said, write it out. Just write down everything. Write down all the hate you have, and then tear it up and burn it. Hopefully they did. And today, I happened to hear on K-Love radio station about from a Christian speaker who had a psychologist on her program. And the psychologist had mentioned about keeping a deep, dark secret keeps God from working in you. But if the secret or whatever is being held, if this unforgiveness, such as unforgiveness, if you keep it, harbor it, it's a deep secret and it's dark. But if you forgive, it brings, if you bring it into light, if you confide in someone, if you write it out, stomp and yell at God, I did that a lot, then, only then, God can do his work in the healing process. You have to let it out. You have to get it out into the light. Find a psychologist or a pastor, poor Pastor Steve, Pastor Deb, or a good friend, someone that you know will just listen and forget about it. And that's why I like the fourth day. We have, I know my group has sisters in Christ. They have been such a help to me. And it helps me to bring things out and into the light, and then it's gone. The problem is gone. Now, from the emotional perspective, forgiving others decreases anger, depression, and anxiety, and it increases self-esteem, self-control, and our emotional stability. It strengthens relationships and promotes peace. Remember my friend who was hurt by her friend, who she thought was a friend? She said it took her a little while to respond back in her email and to give forgiveness. But guess what? They're now friends again. And I said, well, how did you feel? You know, how did you really feel your body? She said, felt like a burden was lifted from my shoulders when she had given that forgiveness. And now they're good friends again. And I praise God for that. Now, in the documentary, Forgiveness, A Time to Love and a Time to Hate, provides an intimate look into the spontaneous outpouring of forgiveness. It talks about the Amish families when, and, you know, the 2006 shooting of the children in Pennsylvania. It talks about the struggles of the 60s radicals, how they are having to cope with the serious consequences of their violent acts of protest. There was one lady there, the shattering of a family after the mother abandoned them. She just left. She told her husband she was leaving. He said, "Well, you're not taking the kids." And she said, "I know." And how it affected her also. And now she's seeking forgiveness and reconciliation. We're thinking about one of the African countries. Starts with an L. Liberian? Is that right? Libya? Maybe it's Libya. Yeah. I didn't know much about this, but this is where they have the Truth and Reconciliation Commission hearings. This is South Africa, so, but I thought I saw the Libyan a name on there. And then, of course, the journey of modern-day Germany, confronting the horrible acts of the Holocaust. And also the riveting stories of survivors of the unimaginable, brutal Rwandan genocide and how people are now reconciling. They are no longer the Tutsi and the Hutus. They're supposed to be one nation. They have a new flag. They have a new anthem. They're still, of course, you have your little rebels. But they are sending out, or there are services, Christian services, where they're bringing people together. They had these two gentlemen. One was one of the Hutus who had murdered a lot of the Tutsis, and a friend or relative of one of the people that were killed. And now they are reconciled. And they said, and they do lots of things together. They help build houses. They go around and talk, and it's just like, he's my brother now. Can you forgive like that? I don't know. I just don't know. It would take God. Now, those persons who have hurt us, who have rejected us, or made us feel unworthy, might not forgive our, might not deserve our forgiveness. Just like the people in the documentary. And you know, it's our choice, though. It's our choice to give the enemy place in our minds and emotions, or we can choose to walk in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul told us, neither give place to the devil. By forgiving, we close the door to the enemy. We can choose whom we will serve. But a key to possessing the ability to forgive is to understand that forgiveness is really for us. It's not for the other person. The other person might not even accept it, you know. And you didn't even do it to that. You didn't ask for forgiveness, or you did not say, "I forgive you," to that person. But you talked to God about it, and you forgave. When we truly forgive our debtors or our trespasses, where is that from? The Lord's Prayer, the most powerful prayer. Our heart is filled with a peace that we never thought possible. And as Sid Roth says, forgiveness is supernatural. And our relationship with Christ can flourish and grow. Think about a blossom, and then all of a sudden it opens up to a beautiful flower. As we love and shower Him, God, with our gratitude. It is not a question of deserving forgiveness, but with God, our Savior Jesus' help, we can do it. It is by the grace of God. Now, I did insert a little bit here from Dr. Charles Stanley. And he says, the healing process, and this is these are my thoughts, and it is a process. It takes the right time and place for this to occur. One of the reasons I wanted to get the book mentioned about the seven steps of forgiveness, And that was one of the reasons, I think, to go through a process, to show a process. I wrote that wrong. But the program, like I said, just aired last week, and I didn't have time to get it by mail. And according to Dr. Stanley, the healing process of forgiveness begins with repentance. Assume responsibility for your unforgiving spirit. That puts a lot of onus on us, doesn't it? I mean, if you harbor that. And have a change of mind towards the other person. Then release your hold over the debt you feel the wrongdoer owes. The next step is to recognize the other person's volition has exposed an area of weakness in yourself, your resentment and desire for vengeance. Well, he's going to do that to me. I'm going to do it right back to him or her or whatever. Finally, continually remember how often God forgives you. I really enjoyed the Old Testament study we did with Art. But I tell you, it got kind of tiresome of those Israelites. They'd go back wrong, he'd forgive. They'd go back wrong, and that's what he says. We forgive 70 times, an infinite times. Oh, I don't know. And in doing all of this, we can experience the peace that passes all understanding. We can feel him with us. To God be the glory. Amen.